This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Have you ever looked at someone and thought, they have it, that je ne sais quoi that makes them able to read the room and welcome any interaction with poise and confidence? When we encounter those people, many of us think it's something they were born with that we'll never have. Luckily, that's not true. Dr. Risa E. Lewis is a professor of emergency medicine at the University of Alabama at Birmingham and host of the Visible Voices podcast. She says that anyone can attain these seemingly elusive traits by practicing the little nuances called micro skills.
We define it as small, concrete, fundamental building blocks, skills that help navigate, help become larger goals, larger tasks, larger projects, and even innate characteristic traits or habits that we think people have and other people don't. We believe these can be broken down into these small steps to build, to achieve essentially almost everything.
When Lewis started her career, she quickly felt like everyone else had gotten a playbook that must have missed her own mailbox.
What I noticed when I was starting out in university, in medical school, in specialty training, some people just knew how to do it. They knew how to get things done. They seemed efficient. They seemed speedy. Someone gave them the how-to. And I realized I wasn't given that how-to.
She managed to finally find her footing, but realized that not everyone has the same success. Many people aren't able to overcome these obstacles and are too often stunted in their careers. So in an effort to bridge this gap, Lewis and her co-author, Dr. Adara Landry, wrote Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact. Landry is an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School and an emergency medicine physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. She says the best part about these skills is that it won't cost you thousands of dollars and years of your life to go back to school in order to learn them.
You don't have to go get an MBA to make these things happen. I use it as an example specifically because I remember basically going to a workshop or a seminar on like how to better your career. And a lot of the bottom line advice was, if you really want to move up, you got to go get an MBA. And that there's so much privilege in that sentence that I really wanted to not write a book that was baked into that culture of like, just go get another degree. It's really for just anyone who's like, why does it seem like everyone has this figured out and I don't?
Lewis and Landry's book takes a different approach to the usual business self-help books we see advertised.
A lot of business self-help books are written by older, cisgender, heterosexual, probably Christian white men, and they are just assumed to be credible a lot of times. And many of them are CEOs, like they're leaders. And so, yes, they're great at leading their individual life, but might not be necessarily attuned to those they oversee and the struggles they have.
Which is why Landry and Lewis decided to make self-care a big focus of their book. How can you achieve success in your career without needing to neglect your personal life?
And I think that a lot of that comes from our lens as physicians, just understanding like the effects of working all the time, what that does to your body.
Making sure that you're healthy and prepared to engage with the outside world is the foundation that everything else builds off of. If you're not mentally and physically prepared, no number of micro skills will be able to compensate for such a shaky base. And if you're not sure where to start, the first chapter of their book addresses all of the different aspects of self-care, from personal hygiene to recognizing and showing gratitude. One of the foundational components Landry and Lewis underline is nurturing the personal relationships you have with the people you trust. They call this group your board of directors.
The idea is that you really don't want to tap into one person for every single particular need that you have, because that person is busy and needs breaks and might not be the expert in a very specific topic that you need help in. And so a personal board of directors is similar to any sort of board of directors a company has. So in this case, you are the company and you have particular needs. Like you might need someone who is really great at personal finance. You might need someone who is really great at parenting. Another person could help you with navigating difficult conversations and so forth. And so each person on your board has a very unique and chiseled skill set.
Landry says when she first meets someone, she automatically thinks about their strengths. Sometimes a skill set can be practical, like being able to explain the stock market. But other people on your board may fill more emotional needs. For example, Lewis says having people she considers failure friends are extremely important, especially in her high-stress life.
As emergency medicine physicians, we have bad cases. We have patients die. Mistakes are made. And it's really important to have the people you can call who, no matter what, they got you and they help you feel better. And you can share what happened in a non-judgmental way. And you just feel better when you speak to them.
This process may be easier said than done. Many people are turned off by the idea of networking because it feels superficial and one-sided. How can I use this person to get what I want? However, Landry explains that a personal board of directors works both ways. If you consider someone a trusted friend, you should also be able to offer up your own expertise and become a part of their personal board.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The slimy part of networking comes from when we think about it as like take, take, take. And it becomes much more of an enriching experience when you can see how you can give, give, give. And at that point, it's mutually beneficial and it just doesn't feel gross that some people may think of when they think of like networking.
Another crucial aspect of learning these micro skills is role playing. Lewis says she'll often use it when preparing for difficult conversations, a skill she had to learn early in her career.
Early on, I saw and worked with leaders who either avoided the difficult conversation, hoping that the conflict would go away. I worked with a supervisor who handed off the difficult conversation to me. And I was a little delayed in understanding what he was doing because he kind of pitched it as, this is an amazing opportunity for you. And then I saw what he did. And the person with whom I ended up having a conversation saw through it as well.
And while it may be human nature to want to avoid these tough conversations, it's a part of being a leader and showing your colleagues the respect they deserve. Landry says one of her top micro skills is the art of complaining carefully. She mentors many young people who are a part of Gen Z, a group that's particularly strong advocates for changing the status quo within the corporate world. However, Landry often reminds her students that they need to approach these changes delicately.
I'm a millennial, and I can think about a time where I needed to speak up about someone who was a baby boomer, and I needed to speak up about someone to my boss who was also a baby boomer. I think at that time I thought, I'm just gonna speak from my heart. I'm gonna be as authentic and raw and unhinged and unfiltered as possible because this is what's gonna resonate with that audience. And that's not how it turned out, right? Everyone has a different viewpoint and lens. And I think a lot of it is generational. I think a lot of it is gendered. I think a lot of it is according to your upbringing and the way you are coached as a child to speak up or not speak up.
Which is why you need to tailor your complaints to your audience.
Knowing what you want to say, who is listening, what's the best medium through which you're going to say these things, when is the best time to do it? And like, is the correct audience in front of you listening? Like all of those things can really make you ultimately pause before you go on a very emotional rant, because we want you to complain, but we want you to be more logical than you are emotional. And thinking about it from that standpoint was, if I had learned that years ago, that could have avoided some follow-up meetings that I needed to have.
Sometimes knowing your audience means not complaining at all. It would be wonderful if every workplace fostered an environment where the employees are able to be 100% themselves. But that's not reality. Landry says you have to be aware of your office's culture.
There is a workplace, there is an environment, and you can't just like show up and be who you want to be in the most full, authentic self and expect people to universally welcome that, because they also have a full authentic self too. And they might not be sharing it in a way that you are, and that can cause some clash.
Workplace disputes can get messy, especially when both parties feel slighted. Navigating conflict in any situation is difficult to do. Lewis and Landry's book addresses conflict by first teaching the reader how to recognize it, a skill that many people think they have, but may not actually possess.
Sometimes it can go over one person's head that someone else is struggling in a situation, and they can feel minimized, gaslit, undermined, all of those things. So I think that's probably the first step, is just learning cues. Like, this person's tone seems upset. They are speaking quickly. They are using words like annoyed or frustrated.
The second tip many people forget is that conflict doesn't always need to be addressed in the moment. In fact, many situations should be addressed when you've had time to clear your head, think it through, and get a good grasp of the issue without the heightened emotions of being in the moment. Lewis and Landry wanted to cover the whole scope of life skills. And in our current age of technology, that now includes social media. Though these platforms are often considered self-indulgent and egocentric, Landry says they offer a unique opportunity to communicate with people who would otherwise be impossible to contact.
I've gotten so many opportunities because I have just nurtured a relationship from someone who I like met online. And I was like, oh, I really like your work. I just want to say thank you and congratulations for doing what you're doing. And that just very slowly built into an online relationship. And that was, you know, mostly on Twitter, but now it's LinkedIn for me.
And just like with in-person networking, Landry makes sure she's giving back to the community with each of her posts.
What I do is, like, if I wrote a paper, I might write a paper and then share a couple tips about writing articles. So in that case, like, I highlight the work that I'm doing, but I'm also sharing knowledge. So I think it's a little bit less annoying for readers when they can learn from what I'm achieving versus just like, look at me, look at what I've done. I think that is the line that can sort of be easily crossed. So generally speaking, with my post, I try to at least thank a few people and or teach a topic or a skill so that when I share my win, it's not just centered on myself.
If all of this information sounds like a lot to learn in one read, cover to cover, you're right. Lewis and Landry's book is broken down into bullet points so that it can be used as a quick guidebook to take what you need for each different situation.
So, for example, a good friend of mine who is mid to late career in a new leadership position, she thumbed through it the other day because she was about to lead a meeting. And so she looked at micro skills for running a meeting. She also needed to handle some bad behavior, a bad player. So she thumbed right to the section on holding a difficult conversation.
Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact is available now wherever books are sold. You can find more information about Dr. Risa Lewis, Dr. Adara Landry, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.